angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought his angels, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. Notice they have a place right now. They're able to go before God in a limited way and accuse the brethren. We read that in the book of Job. And it says the great dragon was cast out. The old serpent called the devil, Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him. And then notice what happens. And I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Therefore, rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time. Now, last week we started with this chapter. Actually, I think we started a couple weeks before. And this chapter is really what we're going to call wrapped in conflict. There's a war that's going on. In the last the chapters before, we witnessed war in Israel. And then in the verses before, we witnessed where the devil was after the woman that was with child. And we saw that in history past. And now we're looking kind of forward to the midpoint of the tribulation period, okay? The nation of Israel has been under the protection of the Antichrist up to this point. Now there's war in heaven. And, you know, I was thinking about this, and my question is, I wonder who starts it. I got an idea the devil probably did. He's probably been trying to do this for quite a while. And then God finally said, oh, it's time. And then Michael and them just attacked them and threw them out. And there are no casualties on the angel's side. The devils and all of the demons, all of them were shoved back into earth, which is just a temporary place for them, because one day they'll be cast in the great lake of fire, and that'll be rejoicing there. But you see some of the things. So last week we talked about the revealing of the dragon and his nature and his names and all of that. But we also declared before we were finished that, yeah, we have an accuser, but we also have an advocate. Amen? And I'm glad for that. But now, let's talk this week, Amber. We're going to be point number two, the removal of the dragon. The removal. You see in verses 7 through 9, he is defeated by a heavenly warrior. As I said before, we don't really know who initiates it, but we know who wins it. And I got an idea the devil probably started it, but the angelic hosts of heaven are led by an angel by the name of Michael. Michael is one of the archangels of God. His name, interestingly, means who is like God. That's interesting. He is a special angel because he's called an archangel. He's called that in Jude 1:9. In Daniel chapter 10, he's called one of the chief princes. And in Daniel chapter 12, he's called the great prince. So apparently Michael has a lot of power among the angelic hosts. And so he battles against Satan, and he leads the angels really in permanently barring the devil and his demons from ever having access there again. And then we see in verse number 8, I love this little phrase. It says, and prevailed not, neither was their place found any more in heaven. And then verse 9 tells us they were cast out into the earth. The phrase cast out in the King James Bible and in the Greek text underlying it means to let go of a thing without caring where it falls. just let go of a thing without caring where it falls. They literally kicked them out without caring wherever. Satan is forever driven from heaven. So when Satan is cast out, look at verse number 10. Now see, you saw that. You saw that war. Satan is cast out. Notice what immediately happens. Whenever heaven is emptied of the devil's influence forever, it's like glory just shines forth and sounds forth. Look at verse number 10. It says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven. Can you imagine the rejoicing of the saints of God and the angels of God whenever the devil is banished from heaven? I don't know about you, but I got an idea the angels have not been too happy about this situation for a long, long time. Now this happens. Heaven literally explodes in praise and thanksgiving. That's what these verses are about. The tormentor, the accuser of the brethren, the archenemy of God, and the most feared and hated being in the universe has forever been expelled from heaven. So the citizens of heaven, those saints of God that have gone on before, and the angels in glory and all the created beings, they praise God and the Lamb for their power in overcoming. The praise is rendered on behalf of, essentially, the tribulation saints. If you read through this, you'll see that it makes reference to them. And I'm going to tell you, those folks that have been killed for the first part of the tribulation period, they are really glad to see the devil's gone. Because he literally and his people have literally put them to death. Christians in this time, after the church is raptured out, after the saints are raptured out, Christians, believers that become Christians after this, many of them die for the cause of Christ. And they're killed because of the hatred of the dragon. You look at our world today. I'm going to tell you, it wouldn't take much for people to be willing to put Christians to death. It wouldn't be a big deal to them. Why? Because we oppose everything that they want to do. If you watch Joe Biden's speech the other night, he looked like Satan incarnate right there with that red lights and all behind him. I have no doubt that Satan possesses him and rules him. But he could work up people to a fervor pitch and blame everything on Christians. By the way, there's a lot being blamed on Christians right now. But notice, they used these tribulation saints, they used, and it's really the same weapons that we have today, they used three weapons against the devil, actually to defeat him. So let's read the verse again. Verse number 10, it says, I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And here's the reason why. For the accuser of our brethren. So these have got to be saints. More than likely, these are the tribulation saints. The accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God. Excuse me, day and night. And watch how they overcame. How in the midst of even suffering for their faith and dying for their faith, they still were victorious. Even though the devil puts people to death, even in Afghanistan right now, which is the most dangerous place for believers in the entire world right now. I was just reading an article the other day. The numbers of them being put to death by whatever group that is that's ruling over there. It's a fundamental Islamic group. And they are killing Christians left and right. There were a good number of Christians. There were a good number of people in Afghanistan became Christians because the American soldiers were there. And, you know, if you go down through history, almost everywhere the American soldiers have been in wartime, they leave behind a remnant of Christians there. So even something that we think is bad, God can use that for good. Amen? And so we see that the same thing happened in Afghanistan, but this present administration abandoned all those people. Abandoned the Afghanis that work with us and the thousands of Christians that are there. And they're being martyred for their faith tonight. But you know how someone that is being attacked by the devil and the devil's people can defeat him? Notice in verse number 11, it says they overcame him. Yeah, they might have been put to death, but they still won. Those Christians might be being put to death tonight, but you don't have to be absent from the body to be present with the Lord. Amen? It's like a man pulled a gun on J. Frank Norris. He was a pastor of First Baptist Church in Fort Worth, Texas years ago. And a man pulled a gun on him. He said, don't threaten me with heaven. Then he pulled out his gun and shot and killed the guy. But, notice what they use. First of all, they use the same thing that's available to us. They use the blood of the Lamb. They use the blood of the Lamb. They did not fall for Satan's lies that religion would be good enough. By the way, in the tribulation period, if you think that deception is bad now, you'll just wait until we watch it from heaven and see it whenever the Holy Spirit, the active minister of the Holy Spirit, is taken out and billions of Christians are taken out. This world today says, we don't want a God. Well, they're going to spend an eternity without one. Can you imagine? God is good. And everything that God does is good. Can you imagine the influence of good being taken out of the world and how evil it'll become? See, we're looking at it right now, but there is a remnant here. There is a power of the Holy Spirit of God that is holding back evil. But they did not fall for the lie that they were good enough. When they saw their condition, they turned to Jesus by faith and they were washed in the blood of the Lamb. Amen. These tribulation saints, even though they die for their faith, they have eternal victory. And that's what the shout is. The devil is thrown out. And see, while they were on earth, that no telling what sadistic tortures they went through and what humiliation they went through before the devil killed them. But now, you know what? They get the last praise. We say last laugh. No, they got the last praise. Amen. They rejoice for what was going on. And then it says, they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. You know what this means? They would not renounce their faith in Jesus Christ. You read history. Well, look, read Fox's Book of Martyrs or one of those, and you see the unbelievable tortures that Christians have gone through centuries. And all they had to do was just renounce their faith in Jesus and everything will be okay. Probably that was a lie. But still, that's what they told them. And they didn't. They refused to do it. The word of their testimony. They claimed to be redeemed followers of Christ and they never backed down. Their steadfastness helped them to achieve a victory over Satan. He may have killed their bodies, but he couldn't take their soul. Amen. So they got victory over that. His defeat, by the way, Satan knows this. His defeat is sealed by every death of a saint that refuses to renounce Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that's something powerful he can't even take away. People are willing to die for their faith. And then notice what else? It says they overcame him by the Lamb or blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their lives unto death. I wonder what love was greater than their own love for their own lives. How about the love of Jesus? You know, I was reading about these tribulation saints, and I was wondering about modern-day Christianity. Amen? I wonder how quickly we renounce our faith today. Hide our faith. Our love for Jesus is not what it ought to be. Maybe God needs to allow some persecution so that it kind of clears up some of that stuff. Amen? No, amen. I'm not praying for that. But that's what happens. Whenever you have nothing else but God, that means something. But you know, here in America, we've got a lot of other things besides God. God help us to fall in love with Him all over again. They love their Redeemer more than they love their own lives. What a testimony this is. They would sooner die for Him who died for them than deny them. They stood their ground. I say stood. I'm saying all this in the past tense, and the reason why is because really, the Word of God, the way that it presents it, in the mind of God, it's already happened. We know it's yet future. But they will stand their ground and courageously face a martyr's death, knowing that whenever their life leaves the body here, they would continue forever in the blessed wonderful presence of Almighty God forever and ever. So you see the revealing of the dragon and you see the removal of the dragon from heaven. But boy, now we're going to see the rampage of the dragon. Number three, Amber. Satan, I don't know who I read this after, but I wrote it down. Satan does not take being cast out of heaven very well. He is an unhappy camper about being kicked out of heaven. And he is going to turn his wrath to the only place he can still operate. Think about now, he operates in many spheres. But during the second half of the tribulation, he's going to only be able to operate in one place, and that's earth. By the way, he didn't operate in hell. He didn't rule hell. That's a lie he's told people. God rules hell. Whenever Satan is cast into hell, he's not going to be sitting around laughing. He's going to be suffering for all eternity. And he's not going to have any control or sway over anybody else there. He's going to be chained forever and ever. But the rampage, look at it in verse number 12. It says, "Now therefore rejoice, ye heavens, and ye that dwell in them." These are the tribulation saints and the saints of God in heaven. Rejoice. Why? It's almost over. Almost over. "Woe, though, woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down to you," and here's a phrase, "having great wrath." This pronounces a divine woe on the inhabitants of earth, because here's what's about to happen. They're about to feel and experience the unfiltered anger of the devil. He knows that he has a limited time. He knows. He knows what the Bible says. As soon as he gets kicked out of heaven, he knows, according to the Word of God, it's only three and a half years. 42 months. And then he knows he's facing a certain judgment. Since he cannot turn his anger toward heaven anymore, he turns his hatred earthward. Well, who's the first people he attacks? Nation of Israel, the saints of God. Amen. Notice, verse number 13. Well, finish it up, because he knoweth that he hath but a short time, 42 months. "And when the dragon saw that it is cast unto the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." His hatred for Israel is really hard to understand. He hates Israel. The primary focus or object of Satan's wrath becomes the chosen people of God, the nation of Israel. By the way, during the tribulation period, thousands, millions of them will turn to Jesus Christ as their Savior. Millions. They're not only Jews, but now they're believers in Christ. They're Christians. Satan hates Israel and does everything in his power to destroy that nation. He's doing that today. And of course, you know, we want to give Iran more money so they can have... How many of you have questioned this? Can I ask you a question? Iraq, Iran, all the Middle East, they've got billions, trillions of barrels of oil, right? But Iran, they want to have nuclear power. And everybody's like, "Oh, what a great idea for green energy." No, they want to create nuclear weapons, you bunch of dummies. And they're like, "Ho, ho, ho." And it surely they can't be that stupid. But when I hear Joe Biden, I think that there's a possibility that he is. But still, there's got to be something sinister behind that. Oh, I wonder if it's the dragon. Amen? You know, there is something that is missing in the revelation. You know what's missing in the revelation? Islam. Not there. Roman Catholicism is there. But I don't see Islam hardly in the book of the Revelation. Something happens. Maybe their own nuclear weapons get turned on. Now, just a thought. I don't know. That's hopsonology, by the way. I don't have any verses for that. That's just in my own mind, which is not really that big. But we're told that Satan persecuted. You know what the word persecuted means? To chase, to pursue with wrath. He didn't give up. It refers to a hostile pursuit. He goes after them with a vengeance. Well, then we're told that they're divinely protected. Just like God. Notice, it says, in verse number 14, "And to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle." Brother Tony Smith, tremendous prophetic Bible teacher. He believes that this could be a reference to America. Wings of a great eagle. I don't know. He believes America's in the Revelation. So, I don't know. Because I have found that God, the wings, the image of eagle's wings are a symbol of God's divine protection. Listen to this verse in Exodus. It says, "Ye have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bear you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Huh. You know, so America wasn't here at that point. Amen. So, I don't know. But we're told in verse number 16, notice what happens. Now, part of this, I think, is possibly symbolic. I'm going to give you guys two options. How about that? All right? There again, there are some things in the Revelation that if we get it wrong, we're still okay. Amen? We're still saved. And there's, you know, if we're off on some of these things, it's not a big deal. I'm not willing to die on the hill right here. There's some things I'm willing to die for. I'm willing to die whether salvation is by faith. Amen. Those types of things. But there are some of these. But this depicts the attacks of Satan like a great flood of water. So let's read it, and then I'll give you guys some thoughts. Verse number 14, it says, "To the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the face of the serpent. And the serpent cast out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth." Okay? So this may mean that some friendly nations on the earth, Gentile people, will reach out to Israel and take them in and give to their need during those dark days. By the way, that's happened in history past. Okay, or this could be a literal flood. But it could very well be that the earth will absorb the blows that Satan intended for Israel. I don't know exactly what it means, but here's what I do know what it means. God protects Israel. Whether the earth itself opens up and this is a literal flood that comes after them, or it means a flood of hostility and hatred and anger and persecution, and then friendly nations, friendly Gentiles open up their homes and it kind of like the hiding place and those types of things. So very well could be that same type of thing as whenever Hitler was looking for them. And verse number 17, it says, "And the dragon was wroth with the woman." Boy, that's an understatement. Israel has completely escaped anything that he could do. That God has protected them divinely throughout all of this part. And the devil is unbelievably angry. Now notice what happens. He went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Huh. You know who that possibly is? Believers, Christians, Gentile believers, people that's gotten saved during the tribulation period. You got to remember, there were millions of people saved, 144,000 witnesses, the two witnesses that were just killed in chapter number 11. But God will have the final say. Watch the rest of the verse. "Which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ." Sounds like the same thing as the other tribulation saints. Amen. Millions will die. Millions will die because of the earth and all that happened, the starvation and water issues and all of that. But millions will die under the hand of satanic oppression. But here's what I know. God has the final say. God wins. And as we've studied, preached through these passages, we've seen some horrible things. Yet, we see in the midst of those unbelievable, despicable acts, rejoicing. You know, some of the darkest times in our lives, we can see the hand of God more clearly than other times. And sometimes during the darkest times is when we rejoice the most. Amen. In this passage, we learn that the devil, that evil being who has fought against God and His plan and His people, will finally be defeated. We learn that the one who has accused us when we fail has condemned us by name in heaven will one day be cast out of the place called heaven. We learn later this path will end in the flames of the lake of fire. One writer said this, "I'd say that any word that talks about the devil getting what is coming to him is a good word." Amen. A rampage of the devil. But he's on a rampage, you know why? Because God kicked him out of heaven. He's on a rampage because in verse number 12, the Bible says he knows his time is short. So what his nature is fully comes out whenever he realizes his time is short. Me and you as believers tonight ought to realize our time is short. And what our true nature is, our true Christian nature, the life of Christ ought to flow throughout our lives in these days more than any other time in our lives. Because our time is short. Amen. Not with wrath, not with anger, but the love of Christ needs to flow forth. God's people, we need to be praying more today. We need to be worshiping more today. We need to be serving more today than we have at any other time in our history. May God help us to do that. When you realize that your time is short, the kind of things business picks up. My goodness, you look at the news and look at the events and read the Word of God, and then just look at our birthdays. You realize our time is drawing nigh. Amen. Let's be busy this week. Let's rejoice because we've overcome Him by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of our testimony. Let's not fear. Let's live for Jesus this week. And all God's people said, amen. What a great passage of Scripture. God wins. Amen. Oh, the devil gets a little bit. He gets a couple blows in there. Nothing. God takes care of it. Let's pray. Father, we love you.